Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Says this, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life shall they add to thee. My son, forget not my law, but let my heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let's pray. Lord God, we just want to stop again tonight, and Lord, to be grateful and to thank you for the opportunity we have to be here this evening. Lord, we do. We've echoed some prayer requests. Lord, we pray that you would have your will and way each of those. Lord, we do pray tonight for Pastor and his family and then the teens as they're up there. Pray you might watch over all that's going on there right now. I pray for Brandy and Emily. Lord, pray you'd work there as well. And Lord, I just pray you give them safety as they travel back tomorrow. And Lord, I thank you for all the folks tonight that are here that are faithful. And Lord, we praise you for that. Lord, we thank you that we can come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And Father, we thank you we're able to do that. Lord, thank you we're able to encourage each other. Thank you for Miss Stephanie's testimony. Lord, how you've used others in her life to encourage her. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, just pray you'd help us be sensitive to the needs of others. And Lord, even sometimes when the Holy Spirit lays someone to call or send a card to or visit or just send a text to, Lord, help us to be mindful, to be listening. And Lord, I pray our hearts might be Bible. And God, I do pray this evening. Lord, I pray you give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech tonight. Lord, I pray for the next door with all the kids' ministries there. God, I pray that you bless her as well. And Lord, I pray now you'd work in our lives tonight. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. In my devotions in homeroom for the high school, I love going through the book of Proverbs. I know whatever the day of the week is, that's the proverb that I read there, and I try to have a devotion with that chapter. And then a while back, I was reading here in chapter 3, verse 1. I guess the title of tonight's message would be a divine instruction given. And we here in chapter 1, and verse 1, the instruction is this, to forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And so our first point this evening is Roman number 1, would be divine instruction is given. You know, and I looked at the word forget, and you know it means to loose from memory, to slight or neglect. To loose to memory, to slight or neglect. I think I said something that we need to do is not neglect or slight God's word. And then we should see the instructions. The second thing there is for our hearts to keep his commandments. You would turn to Ezra 7:10. Book of Ezra, chapter 7, verse 10. There's some verses here. And then we're going to tie these two thoughts to go. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, we see the importance of having our mind and heart. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10 says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. In other words, he wasn't slighting it, he wasn't ignoring it. Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Then if you would look over to Psalm 119:11, please. Not over to Psalms 119:11. Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word be hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And then on over to verse 97 of the same chapter. Just give me a little bit of a leadway here in a second. Psalm 119 and verse 97 says this. Oh, how I love thy law is my meditation day and night. So we saw here in our text that we was to forget not his law, and we was to keep his commandments. Now, to turn it, if you would, over to Romans 1:28. What happens to the lost when they ignore his commandments? Romans 1:28. We see here that they chose to reject God. They chose to reject his word. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do that which things are not convenient. They be being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, malice, full of envy, murder, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents without understanding, covenant breakers without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. I got to think of when I was reading this verse further, the devotion next door. You know, what happens in the life of a Christian when we neglect or we ignore God's word? You know, it's important in our lives. I believe that we hide God's word in our heart, that we might sin against him. And how many times have we come to church and the preacher was preaching, Sunday school teacher was teaching, or was on our own Bible study, and when we said amen, 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 oh me, and then we come to the point that applied to us. Do we stop and listen to it, or do we look over it? Many times in our lives, there's lots of things that we will amen, but like one of you just said, it's hard to say amen when the bulldog's chewing your leg off. In our lives, I think that God's word speaks to our hearts. Every time, I don't care if it's in your devotions at home, through a Sunday school lesson, through a sermon, or whatever. As God's word is opened, he speaks to our hearts. And we saw that, with Romans 1 is a picture of the world today. This world has neglected, they've ignored God's word. They've chose to neglect and ignore God's word. And so tonight I want to look at the life of the great man who ignored God's word. King David, a man after God's own heart, a man that loved the Lord. Yeah, we're going to see here in a little bit, he chose to ignore and neglect God's word. Turn if you would over to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 17. Look at Deuteronomy 17. So we see number one, divine instruction given. We see Roman number two, a divine instruction neglected. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 17, and I recopied my notes right before church. I hope I got them all copied correctly. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 14 through 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 14 through 17. Verse 14, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee, thou shalt possess it, and thou shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom thou, the Lord thy God, hath chosen. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee, that thou mayest not be a stranger over thee, that he may not be a stranger over thee, yet which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself. He's not to multiply horses. It says, nor cause people to return to Egypt, to the end that they should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, you shall henceforth return no more. Neither shall he multiply wives. So he's not to multiply horses, nor he's not supposed to multiply wives. And then that last part says, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Now, to turn, if you fast forward over to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 4, so we see that the instruction was given to kings. I'm going to take my jacket off. Is it getting warm in here? Anybody else burning up? Somebody must play with the heaters. Lydia, did you turn the heaters up? Well, she is here. 2 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 4. When I get hot, I stutter more, so not really. 2 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 4. Yes, again, we always hear about King David. It says, and David took from him 1,000 chariots and 700 horsemen and 20,000 footmen. And David hoed all the chariots' horses, but reserved of them for 100 chariots. So we see that he didn't multiply more horses than was needed. That it was instructed back in Deuteronomy. And then look at 2 Samuel 8, verse 7 and 11. We'll start reading verse 7. And David took the shields of gold which were on the servants of the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to them to Jerusalem and from Bethah and from Berathah cities of Hadadezer, King David took exceedingly much brass. And when Toah king of Heshma heard that David had smitten all the host of Hadadezer, and look down in verse verse 11. Which also King David did dedicate to the Lord. Everything that he took, so he gave the Lord. So we see that he didn't increase his horses. He didn't increase his wives. But look at his horses or his riches. And now look at 2 Samuel 5:13. 2 Samuel 5:13. Give me just a little bit of leeway here for a second. 2 Samuel 5:13 says this. And David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem after he was come from Hebron. So he amen the part about the no horses. He amen the part about not stealing riches. But when we come to, to not do not have more wives, and then he said, "Oops," and he chose to ignore the ignore the instruction of God there. Now, in our lives, my thought simply is this. Sometimes we come to church or open our Bibles and we begin to read God, to reread God's word, and we would say that we would never forget God's word, and we can't erase it from our memory, but we can choose to neglect it. We can choose just to push it to the side. We see here that King David, he amened the part about not multiplying his horses. That was good. Amen. He obeyed that. But we saw that King David, his riches he dedicated to the Lord. He liked that part. But we know from his life, he had trouble with lust. And when it came the part about the command, the instruction to not multiply wives, he chose to ignore that. So we see that God gives instructions, and then we have a responsibility to choose to accept it and obey it, or to reject it. Many times, when I was a kid, we always heard the older preacher say that sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. In our lives, we need to understand that just as the world neglects the word of God, it affects them. We as Christians, as we neglect God's word, it affects us as well. And King David was a man after God. He was a man after God's own heart. King David loved the Lord. But yet there's an area of his life where he chose to neglect God's word, to disobey the instructions. So I'm going to look at some things tonight that cost him. Look at 2 Samuel 11. We see some things that neglecting God's word cost him to do. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 1. We're going to just kind of go through the chapter. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 1. And it came to pass that the years expired, the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Amnon and then besieged Reba. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. We see here that it affected David, and that he neglected his duty. He wasn't where he was supposed to be, doing what he ought to do. And then look at verse 2. Secondly, he flirted with sin. And it came to pass in the evening time, when David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Now, remember, he already had trouble with lust. We saw that already. But now, you know, that even in time, you know, from what I understand about the custom that the ladies would take baths at nighttime up on the roof where the water could get warm. You know, it could get warm. They'd go up and they'd bathe themselves. And you know, the king's palace was over all the other houses. He knew when he went up there what he's going to see. He's going to see other ladies bathing. He began to flirt with sin. As we neglect God's word and we push God's word aside, number one, we aren't as active in our duties we ought to be, and secondly, we begin to flirt with sin. And then look at chapter 11, verse 3. And David sent and inquired of the woman, and one said, Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in to him, and he lay with her, and she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned to her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. We see that he fell into sin. And from there it's a downward spiral. He came into adultery. He called Uriah the field. He had Joab to murder Uriah. You know, in our lives as Christians, we need to stop a little bit tonight, I think, or at least I do. As I read or listen to God's word, every time it comes, you know, some parts it's easy to amen. I think that we all have an area of our life where we are weak in, and the devil knows my area. He knows your area, and he knew the life of David. He knew his area, and David chose to neglect God's word, his instruction, and then his life began to fall apart. In our lives tonight, let's stop and think for a second. What area of my life do I neglect God's word in? Is an area of my life, whether it's a Sunday school lesson or a sermon or a devotion at home, when I'm reading my Bible, that the Lord says, that's you, brother. That's you. And we take, well, it's not that big a deal. It's okay. I'm saved, and it's okay. How bad can it be? I can see David, each time he flirted with sin. He knew God's word, but he neglected God's word. I believe the Holy Spirit of God would have convicted his heart every time. He knew the rule of the kings. He chose to ignore that. He knew when he up to the rooftop that day. He knew what he would see. When he called Bathsheba into his house, he knew what he was doing. When she came back and said, you know, that she was with child, he knew what he had done. But he thought, you know what? I can get by with it. He called Joab. He called her husband home from battle. He tried to trick him into going home and being with his wife. But he was a good man. He says, no, I won't go and lie with my wife while my men are out in the field. He called Joab. He sent a note to Joab. He said, Joab, go out in the battle. And in the heat of the battle, withdraw and leave him out front. He had him murdered. So now the one thing that he was weak in, the lust, has committed. It went from a lust to adultery and murder. He thinks he's got it all covered. But it says in Galatians 6, be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, he also reap. God brings things to light sooner or later. I was reading this morning in Proverbs chapter 7, like around verse 15, you know, where the woman had invited a guy into her house because her husband was gone, that he'd come home at the appointed time. There's always an appointed time. I don't know when the appointed time is, but this I know: if I flirt with sin, I fall into sin, God will judge me. In our lives, with David, one day a prophet came in to see David, and he told David a sad story about a rich man that had all these lambs, about a poor man that had the one lamb, You know, and this rich man was so selfish that he stole the lamb of the poor man. You know, and he fed it, and David became angry. How could someone do that? And Nathan said, "Thou art the man." Instantly, David knew, God's got me. All those things came back to mind now, all because he chose to neglect God's word. All because he wouldn't apply God's word to his life. You know, so I'm going to just go here real quickly through what his sin cost him. We see the consequences. Look at 2 Samuel 12:15. 2 Samuel 12:15. We're going to just read a couple of these. 2 Samuel 12:15-18. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and wept, and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him, and to raise him from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. It came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. So we see the consequence was that his child had died. Then look over to chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. Chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. It came to pass after this that Absalom the son of David had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon the son of David loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, and she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. So we see that his friend, they enticed him, and he went and he raped, that Amnon raped his half-sister. Look at chapter 13, verse 22. We see that Absalom hated, chapter 13, verse 22. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon, because he had forced his sister Tamar. So we see the death of his son, Amnon raped Tamar. Absalom hated Amnon. And then we saw on down the chapter that Absalom had Amnon killed. And then chapter 13, 14, we see that Absalom, that he flees from David. There's no notice for 5 years. And chapter 15, verse 17, we see that Absalom rebels against David, and he leads the kingdom out. Then we see in chapter 16 that Absalom committed adultery with David's wives up on the top of the palace. Now look at chapter 18, verse 32. 2 Samuel 18:32-33. We used to hear that he gets a report back from the battle. And the king said unto Cushai, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Cushai answered, "The enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is." And the king was very much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept, and he wept. Thus he said, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, Absalom, my son, my son." All because he neglected God's word. All because it started out so small of neglecting God's word. Okay, now turn back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 2. We see in chapter 1, we see an instruction. And then we see in verse 2, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." God's desire for David was to have length of days and long life and peace. He didn't have that. He chose to neglect God's word. He chose to not listen, to obey. Another character I'd like to look at is Joseph there. He's probably one of my favorite Old Testament characters is Joseph. Joseph had a very rough life. He was hated by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. He was in the palace. He was accused of rape. He went to prison. And thing after thing had happened in the life of David. Yet he kept his faith, and he kept faith in God. He had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh means, I think I got the two right. I think Manasseh means forgetful. The other one, Ephraim, means fruitful. Ephraim, when Joseph forgot the things of the world and how bad things had been, he forgot those things. But he was fruitful. In our lives, let's forget the right things. Let's neglect certain things. Hurt aches and sorrows and hurts, betrayals, broken hearts. The life of Joseph was just a full life of tragedy after tragedy after tragedy, yet God always blessed. And at the end, I said, one of my favorite sermons, I'm sure I've preached a dozen times here over the years, is chapter 50, verse 20. The brothers had come back to him, and they said, Joseph, now dad's dead, dad's gone. Dad said, and whether dad said that, I don't know or not, it doesn't say, but dad said that you're to forgive us and not get even with us for all that we've done to you. And Joseph said, am I in the place of God? You meant it for evil? God meant for good. Then he named his first son forgetful. He chose to let go. He chose to neglect all the bad that happened to him in his life. And because of that, he was fruitful. He neglected, he forgot, he pushed aside the things that would harm him. And he said to Joseph, he said, and he lived a life of peace. One of the promises in verse 2, a long life and peace. Joseph had that. He neglected the things he should neglect. All of us tonight have had heartaches and sorrows and tragedies. There have been things happen within our church with over the years that's just terrible. But we neglect those things, and we lay those things aside, and we go on ahead. We move on, and we focus on the things ahead. But we don't neglect God's word. David should have had the life of long life and peace like Joseph did. But because Joseph chose to neglect the right things, God blessed him. Because David neglected the things he should not neglect, the word of God in the area of lust, he didn't have that long life of peace. Heartache after heartache. His first child died. That baby died. His daughter was raped, by her brother. Thing after thing, it happened because he neglected the word of God. So when we sit in church, we open our Bibles and we read the word of God, and something gets hold of us, let's don't think, man, I'm God's favorite child. He won't care. I'll get a pass on it. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall also reap. David suffered greatly because of his lack of faith, of not applying God's word. I think of Moses that didn't see the promised land because he neglected the instructions. What blessings are we going to miss out because we don't listen to God's word? When we open the Bible, I challenge you all tonight simply this: open God's word and apply it as it comes. I used to have a plaque on my wall, easy preaching, hard living. Some days it's easy to preach it, but it's hard to live it. It's easy to say it's no big deal when you're praying for someone else going through a hard time, but when you're going through one going through a hard time, it's a big deal. It's easy to say, well, you know, well, you know, you know, with Well, it's going to work out. I promise you, it'll be all okay. It's easy to say it to somebody else hurting. But when you're the one hurting, and they say that, they think, who are you? You don't know. It's easy to preach it, but it's hard to live it. It's easy to read it, hard to apply it. I have to choose. God, I will obey your word. Tonight, it's an area of our life that we are willing to choose to neglect God's word in. Whatever God spoke to you about, if God spoke to you through his word about that, we need to apply it. Don't neglect it. Don't push it aside and say, it's no big deal. It is a big deal. David started small, and they got worse and worse. It's the small things. In our life, let's listen to God's word, and let's apply it. Go ahead and come back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. Almost done. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. Through the entire book, there's instruction and promises. Chapter 3, verse, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. If I want long life and peace, I need to not forget God's law, and I need to keep his commandments. This evening, let's just determine we're going to do right. The right presents itself. When God speaks to our hearts about something, let's say, okay, Lord, you're right. I will do it. If I want long life and peace, like Joseph, it doesn't mean I'll have a happy, upbeat life all my whole life. Joseph didn't have an upbeat life. Prison, false accusation, I mean, all the trouble he went through. But yet, in all that, there's never a record of him questioning God and never sinning. Job had a rough life. But Job said, though he slay me, I will trust him. I think sometimes we try to serve God in the flesh, and we try to apply the scriptures that we want to apply and keep the ones we want, and we serve out of duty, not out of love. Let's serve God out of love. Let's keep his commandments. Let's don't ignore any portion of God's word, the big, the small. Let's take, and as God speaks to our hearts, and I know that Brother Huddle, he always said, with I, sir, I understand what you're saying, I'll obey it. When God speaks to me, I'll obey it. It should be what we want to do. Are we neglecting God's word? Let's pray. Lord God, I do love you tonight.